With Kanesh, myself, Mimi Rosenberg.
We're going to Mumia Abu-Jamal's new book party, which he curated, and the new book is Have Black Lives Ever Mattered?
Let's listen to Mumia himself as he spoke at his book launching about some of the issues he engages with in. We'll also hear from one of the greatest African-American authors and historians in the country, Dr. Gerald Horn, and the extraordinary activist, Pam Africa, Joanna Fernandez, Ash Williams, an activist of Charlotte's Uprising, and rap artist Immortal Technique, add their voices of enthusiasm.
My name is Johanna Fernandez. I'm part of the movement to free Mumia, and I am one of the founding members of the campaign to bring Mumia home. I'm also a professor of history at Baruch College of the City University of New York. We gather here at a propitious moment that more than ever needs to hear the lessons of the Black radical tradition. And we're here to celebrate the publication of a book by the former Black Panther and radio journalist who spent 28 years on death row and is now serving a lifetime of imprisonment without parole in Pennsylvania, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yeah!
He has just published a book, Have Black Lives Ever Mattered? I want to read a little bit from the book. Here's part of the dedication. To souls who shone brightly and were dulled by American hate, to those who struggle still, to the youth of America who dare to march, to yell, to stand on the simple principle that Black Lives Matter, I hereby dedicate this work. This work is essentially a series of vignettes written over the last 30 or 40 years since Mumia has been imprisoned. All of these vignettes are on the subject of police violence, the history of the police and its origins. There's a very important chapter in this book on another period in American history that was quite groundbreaking, the moment when the Black Panther Party decided that they would arm themselves to police the police in Oakland. Mumia brings us into the history of the past in order to explore not just the origins of the police and its problems, which he links to slave patrols, but he explores the shortcomings of reforms that have been put forth in this present period as a solution to police violence. One of the things he says is that video cams are essentially a sham, a way of getting people off the street, and essentially a reform that will do absolutely nothing for the problem of police violence. And part of what he does in the last chapter of this book is that he articulates the lessons learned by the Black Panther Party, but also the proposals of the Black Panther Party, not to create community policing, but to produce institutions in the community that have control over the police. So this is really a timely text that Mumia dedicates to the young people who have made police violence one of the most depressing and harrowing and tragic themes in American history, front and center in public discourse. Here you have a history of police violence and a history of policing in the United States that seeks to connect this generation of radicals, Black revolutionaries, and activists who a previous generation of black radicals, activists, and people who fought for a different society. We need to learn the lessons of the past, but at the same time, Mumia argues that the Black Lives Matter movement and all of the activists connected to it have to dream their own dreams and build a foundation upon which a different world will be built. However, he asserts that in order for us to really see an end to police violence, we have to really build for a revolutionary future in America and in the world. And in fact, we want to build a world, a revolutionary world, in which Mumia walks among us. And in honor of Mumia, we have a special drink tonight called the Mumia Libre. So we invite you to celebrate with us. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you other members of the campaign to bring Mumia home, Tad and Sophia, who will be taking over. Thank you very much, and welcome.
I'm Sophia. I had the wonderful opportunity of visiting Mumia within the past 2 months. Yeah, we sat with Mumia. We broke bread with Mumia. We laughed with Mumia. We talked with Mumia. We fell into his innermost soul. You all should know that Mumia is like the life of any party. Even just having a conversation with him within that space where you feel confined and you have eyes watching you, about 17 cameras also watching you. At the end of the day, this is a party that he wanted for all of us. He said specifically that this is a party for the youth. But Mumia embraces everyone. He would be so elated to see all these beautiful faces with us here tonight. So another thing I wanted to bring up is the love that Mumia spoke about. He went back into the time when he was on death row for 28 years. And he said that for those 28 years, you would not imagine that living within a cell the size of your bathroom, how he felt so much love from not only his loved ones, but love from all of you. And that's what kept him alive for all that time. Let's also party for Mumia's imminent freedom, because we're bringing him home. So, brick by brick, wall by wall, we free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Great, great. So he'll be calling in, and let's get this party started. Oh, Mumia.
Mumia. Mumia on the line, guys.
Please call the State Correctional Institution immediately. Thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
What's on the menu? I greet you all for coming out to our book party. I hope you love the book as much as I love writing it. So, welcome, everyone. There were some questions that was given, and I'll try to address most of them right now. So then, whom did I write this book? I write books for everyone, but this was special. This was written for the young people who built a movement called Black Lives Matter, and I wanted this to be a sign and a signal of my love and my appreciation for this bold, beautiful, brave, and brilliant cohort of young activists took to the streets out of rage, despair, and shattered hope in the last years of the Obama administration. So to someone like myself who has spent his life in the movement, to see the rise of these young people all across the country was more beautiful than anything in the world. Proof that black resistance still lives, and young black people and young allies of black people and young Latinos and young gay and lesbian and transgender people showed us what movements look like. They changed perception. So this is my response to them. I hope they all take it for what it is, a labor of love, a love letter to young black people standing up. I was watching the news and I saw this young black woman get up with a sign against the mass incarceration. Hillary Clinton was speaking, and this person stood up in front of her, and everywhere Hillary turned, she moved the sign. It was so beautiful. It thrilled me, and I'm sure it thrilled millions of people, because here was a young black person speaking to the immense crisis of black and mass incarceration, to one of the architects of mass incarceration.
Lee
Hatton.
That's right.
Beautiful. And Ashley, you're my hero.
Thank you. You're my hero.
Well, you're my hero. I will never forget Black Wall with the sign. And it was, like, powerful. I love it.
Mumia, what does it mean to you at your party? Can you talk about your favorite things?
One of my favorite things is music. I love music.
Yep.
If you pinch me, I'll sing. I love foods. Unfortunately, this is not the place to love foods. But even though I've been denied it for several decades, I still love it. For many years before I came into prison, I was a vegetarian. That meant, you know, celery, tomatoes, fruit, living foods coming from the earth. You get a lot of that in this joint. Do the best we can.
Would having a more progressive district attorney help you with your case? And two, what is the one thing that we can do to help you?
I think the answer to both questions is build a movement. Movements matter. In this state of American repression and the incarceral state, movements matter more than anything else. I'm in the middle of reading one remarkable book. I know many of you are aware of Kianga Mata Taylor.
Yes.
Professor Taylor wrote an incredible book called From Black Lives Movement to Black Liberation. She has put some work together, y'all. And let me just put it this way. I know that many, many people in Black America, in our churches, in our schools, in our streets, I think this is a book that will spark a lot of more movement, because she really addresses the failure of the black intelligentsia, black elite, to address black oppression, the failure of the political class to address the terror and suffering and impoverishment and criminalization of black people. I urge you to read it. Let it spark movements, enrich activists so that they can move to the stage of becoming revolutionaries.
Talk about the connection between Palestinians and
Black Americans. What we share is oppression in the United States and in Israel. Both states are settler states.
Say that.
Nations that stole land from people who lived there before them and claimed it for themselves.
Yeah.
Before the state came into being, there were people living in those lands who were living a whole hell of a lot better than after they got. So when you think about Israel, think about a little American experiment. When you think about the United States, this is where it came from. Oppression on a grand imperial scale. Palestinians need freedom like black people in America need freedom. That's just real talk. I don't know, did you get the phone call today?
What was that?
The phone call.
No, I haven't
got
the phone call.
Okay. Hello. This is your president, the president. That's right. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. Yeah. You believe that?
Yeah.
That's almost that I can hardly believe. It's believed almost a year. I said it's rigged, folks. It's rigged. Yes, it was rigged, but for me. You believe that?
Yeah.
Believe. What's this, who am I calling? Mumia's book party? Hey, get me out of here. I'm a roaster. Are you responsible for this? Oh, she's not there? She's been fired? Okay. All right. I know something was happening. Hey, listen, I'm out of here. I love you all. Love you all.
For the next speaker, and Mumia spoke beautifully about Ash just now. Ash
a queer activist in Black Lives Matter and the Black Palestinian Solidarity Movement.
Wow!
Hails from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Where's the outrage?
I just want to say thank you to the folks who showed up tonight and to the campaign to bring Mumia home, for organizing this and for inviting me. I'm here because I'm outraged, right? Last year, I told Hillary Clinton to apologize to Black people for mass incarceration because I was outraged. And the way that I move my rage towards action is through direct action. I'm writing and I'm dancing at the intersections of direct action, embodiment, Afro-pessimism, and Black radical political theory. And I've read Mumia Abu-Jamal, and so when the campaign to bring Mumia home reached out to me about coming, I was enamored and I knew that I had to get here. And so I'm just so excited to be here. And I just want to say, do direct action. It doesn't matter what group that you decide to get down with, find somebody who agrees with what you believe in and move towards action. I'm definitely all for Rage Estate, but it's great when folks can move it towards action. There are so many opportunities to get involved here or wherever you live. Please turn up on the state. Please continue bringing attention to those who are wrongfully convicted, but any conviction, in my opinion, is wrongful.
Yep.
Please remember that while we're fighting for the wrongful convictions of other people, we also have to fight to end prisons altogether. But detention centers, psychiatric institutions, and other institutions that hold the power down. I bring you greetings from Charlotte Uprising, where we're organizing to free a man named Raekwon Boram, who's being held accountable for killing a protester during Charlotte Uprising last year. We are trying to get Raekwon free. Please look us up on Facebook and support the work that we're doing down in Charlotte. Everyone there supports what y'all are doing here. So thank y'all.
I just want to clarify something very quickly. We asked Mumia to curate this party. We wanted to be his eyes and ears in Harlem. And when we asked him, who would you like at the event, the first person he mentioned was Ash Williams. For me, this is a moment and a dream come true, because we launched the campaign to bring Mumia home 5 years ago in order to connect a new generation of activists, and Black activists in particular, with the movement to free political prisoners, and Mumia Abu-Jamal in particular. There are many political prisoners who are essentially veterans of the movement last time, who sacrificed their lives, and they are behind prisons today. And we have recently heard that the FBI has the Black Lives Matter movement on their books. So the movement to free political prisoners is about defending our movement and our call for revolutionary change in America and in the world. Thank you very much for coming all the way from Charlottesville, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you.
This brother from day one has been out here supporting this cause. He's from Harlem, Immortal Technique.
Free Mumia, free Mumia, and free all political prisoners. They got a new housing plan for the ghetto eventually. Projects for a new American century. False Black terrorism controlling you mentally, and the gospel in the hands of people with no empathy. A mixture of dangerous social chemistry between law enforcement and a military entity. Cameras on the corner of every corner you facing, testing out a future Gestapo on immigration. Power, consolidation, information restricted, just like the iron law of oligarchy predicted. Incarcerating the poor among the drug addicted, but not the families of the ruling class that's afflicted, cause it's a system like corrupted Hinduism. I think you should listen. I've been through the system in prison. I've been through religion. I carried the cross as a Christian for anti-disestablishmentarianism until the seat of despotism arrests manifested my vision. Lyricism with cynicism and syllogisms until they battle out these Pocampos and fill me in prison. Climate change, chemtrails of Leo Strauss's philosophy, the birth of neocon policy. But I laugh at America's fear of a new world order controlling the hemisphere. Because our people have been living that for the past 500 years. We gon' stop you, bastard. Just stand and shop in the bag, geek. Oh, here you go. When I say free, you say Palestine. Free! Free! When I say Mumia, you say freedom. Mumia! 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 Good love, I love y'all. I love y'all. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Dr. Gerald Horn, can we get a, can we get some, this brother's written more books than it would be wise to try to enumerate. This is the most recent book of his that I have. I'm sure it's not the most recent book that's out, because this brother is an absolutely prodigious producer of work. But this book, everybody should try and get this book, The Counter-Revolution of 1776. I mean, it's fire. It's raw fire. This is a book that helps us to recognize that the paradigm in which we've been acculturated, in which we've been directed, is totally false, frankly. I mean, at least as regards the foundation, the origins of the United States. And so let's hear what he has to say. Dr. Gerald Horn.
It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. Whether you folks know it or not, you're in the vanguard. Why are you in the vanguard? Yes. Let me just turn to Mumia's book, where on page 149, he's speaking on Ferguson to the Rosa Luxemburg Conference in Germany in January 2015. Because what's the solidarity movement with Mumia exemplifies is what our movement in the United States needs now more than ever. That's international solidarity. And I think the important aspect of Mumia's book is not only the title, that is to say, How Have Black Lives Matter, but what he points out on page 33, when Mumia says, quote, the system kills blacks, there is no outrage that has been normalized by centuries of white enslavement, terrorism, and injustice. Such violence is simply accept the way of how things are. Unquote. I think what Mumia is getting at with those words is pointing out that we make a mistake if we ignore the history of slavery and Jim Crow, trying to understand the reality of the United States in 2017. Let me also say that if we are to free Mumia, if we are to defeat Trumpism, we have to exemplify what Shore Committee is doing. Number one, exemplifying transnational solidarity, and number two, helping forge a broad coalition against white supremacy. So thank you very much. Free the Mumia now. Free Mumia now. Free Mumia now. Free Mumia now. Forward never. Back never. Back never. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we have the Minister of Confrontation with us, Pam Atwood.
On the move. Long live revolution. Let's tear this down. We all know about the commitment of Mumia, but we need to be like Mumia. Mumia is being ill right now. Mumia needs your help. The fact that Mumia is innocent and still in jail, they damn near killed Mumia 2 times last year. We didn't know what we was looking at when Mumia first got sick. He winded up itching from head to toe. His skin was encased in some black something. They said he had hepatitis C. We fought and got him the cure, although they said it will never happen. $1,000 for pills and for 90 days, they said it'll never happen. If you give it to Mumia, you won't have to give it to everybody. They said that Mumia no longer has hepatitis C. They say, we don't know. Mumia has a courageous doctor, Dr. Joseph Harris, who said that Mumia had hepatitis C. Through the movement, we wound up getting a judge to declare that what was happening to him was unconstitutional. Because of Mumia, men, women, and children throughout the United States can now get the hepatitis C. And at the point that they say no, presenting with the lawsuit, Mumia, who is suffering because these people gave him the wrong medication and threw him into a diabetic coma. They gave him a drug called Otezla. Otezla, if you look it up, it causes brain damage, suicidal tendency, and a whole list of other things. Mumia last year was taking one. He's now taking two Otezlas a day. He has to grease himself down with Vaseline from head to toe. Could you pick that up when he was speaking to us? No, because Mumia's concern is everybody. You never once heard it from Mumia. But what we're saying is, enough is enough. January the 17th, Mumia's case will be for another judge, former Supreme Court Justice Ron Castile. This smile that this brother has that you're looking at right now, when people see Mumia on a visit, they have no idea of how he's suffering. His feet burn. He said it feels like he's walking on glass. When he wake up in the morning, his shirt is red with blood from scratching all night. January the 17th, if you can be in Philadelphia, we need to shut it down. Be in Philadelphia on the 17th. Organize like you never organized before. Because Mumia has not wavered one bit. Not one bit. Living in the bowels of the belly of the beast. He has not stopped for us. We must celebrate Mumia and not before the example that he set before each and every last one of us. Just think of this brother who's burning from the inside out. And who's scratching from the right now while he was talking to us. He was burning and itching. Mumia can't live much longer. Why under these conditions? We got to bring this brother out. There's enough information to campaign to bring Mumia home. When you're on the bus, talk about Mumia. When you're on the streets, talk about Mumia. When you're in your churches, talk about Mumia. Let's fight to bring this brother home. Down with this rotten ass system. Order move, long live revolution, January 17th, in the street. Order move, long live revolution. Thank you, thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.